Rovers, Sunday night, the 9th of August, 1970. Sunday night, the 9th of August, 1970. The unexpected visit of Judy and Becky. They report on their time in Columbia. A most unexpected visit. One of the most animated visits is the Little Lees as they used to be. This beginning of Channel 2 over on Sunday night, the 9th of August, 1970. And this is a visit of Judy and Becky. They report on their time in Columbia. One of the most animated things is Little Lees as they used to be. This beginning of Channel 2 over Sunday night, the 9th of August, 1970. The visit of Judy and Becky, and they report on their time in Columbia.
I want to buy you a horse.
That's no horse, isn't it?
How old is it? 6 weeks? 6 weeks.
Come over 6 weeks.
Yeah. He's some horse.
Well, I don't know much about horses, but he's, you know, he was friendly from the very start. He never was anything but friendly. That's the mama, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She's so friendly.
Mm-hmm.
She never, since we've had two or three years, she has never, when you go up to her, she's never shied like you're going to hit her or anything like that. Nobody must have ever scolded her even. She just don't know what it is.
He's some horse.
Yeah. Now, he's got them long legs.
Mm-hmm. Don't you know he could run?
You know what they do? You know, I'm not used to horses. You know, we always had old flood horses. But he gets run out there in that pasture, and he leans. Just leans at a big angle. Go around in a circle.
Mary says this rain doesn't bother her.
Not a bit in the world. I love it.
Yeah.
Her hair is wet and she won't let me give her a
get
a towel.
I stay out in it near about all day.
Can you stay out in it?
Yeah. It don't bother me.
See, I got to go change my shirt. And she says it won't bother her a bit.
Yeah, say it's
get
the neuritis.
I've got neuritis too. It don't bother me. I'm taking some medicine from Dr. Bowers over at Hawthorne.
No, I don't know him.
Well, I have a sick spell. I get awful sick and nervous, and I have to go and lie down a little while. Well, it'll soon pass over.
Yeah.
And the water just pours out of me.
Yeah.
Just like it was raining.
Yeah.
And I went over there the other day. I called Jimmy Daly and I couldn't get him. And I went over there and Dr. Bowers wasn't there. And I told Miss Bowers, I says, I'm all right only when them spells comes on me. But I says, when they come on me, I don't think I'll make it. She said, well, I know what you need. So she went and got the needle and gave me a shot. And she said I had to take three. But I went back Monday and Tuesday and took another one. And they're a little bit lighter. I can tell that they lighter. But
That does the work.
I had one yesterday evening and we come back to the house from tending to the cows, and I was so bad off till, I'm telling you.
I don't see how anybody can look healthy. Faye, did you ever see anybody looking healthy?
She really does. She looks like she feels so good. Well, they give me them shots before, and they say it's hormone shots. and they say that I've got to have them. And she said, you ain't been in here in a year and got one. I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, that's your trouble. She said, you just got to have some hormones.
No, that's, I don't understand that.
Well, I don't either, but you get run down and... No, ma'am, thank you. I just drank some before you came to the house. Y'all go ahead.
Gatorade?
Mm-hmm. Not Gatorade, but I drank some kind of juice.
I'll take a little cigarette.
Okay.
I
do you like it?
Well, I don't know whether I like it or not, but they say they quit giving the football fellas take a whole lot of water out there, you know, and while they're playing football, and all they do is give them a little Gatorade like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't drink water anymore. They just drink a little of this, and it picks them up. And I say it picks them up.
Did y'all see the Lamb of God news last night?
No.
They got that gas up, ready to dump it, but they gonna have to wait now and see what the court decides.
Yeah.
Did you know people, I hate to talk about it to people because they might think I'm crazy, but do you know that I believe that that's what's the matter with our moss and our grass?
Yes. Well, you know, a lot of things I think sound like I'm crazy. But I still think them, and every now and then I can say them. But not just everywhere.
Well, something's causing it.
Well, I believe it's just that they say they got plenty more besides that to get rid of.
You know, this corn blight up here. We're not going to have corn.
Well, do you know what that is? That's the prophecy of the Bible fulfilling.
Do you reckon?
I know it is. Yes, sir. It tells you all about that. And did you know that it says that our eyeballs will burn out of our heads?
Yes, with that nerve gas.
It sure does. And the old Bible, it sure tells us about it. The people is so wicked, and lots of people, me for instance, I'm not right. I don't live like I should. I don't live by the commandments of the Bible, but we're gonna pay for it.
Yeah. Well, when you said wicked, I sort of thought of myself, you know.
Yeah. I'm wicked. I have evil thoughts.
If I'd done half I thought about doing, I'd be in jail.
That's right.
I tell you what, when I go up here and buy something and it ain't an account, and they beat me and know it ain't an account, that somehow just gets me.
And it makes me so mad for somebody to bother something that don't belong to them. Oh.
Yeah.
I ain't got no use for anybody that runs around in these big fine cars and picks up things.
No, I didn't know about that.
Well, you knew all about these fellas going around and picking up caves. You didn't?
No.
I don't learn much.
One of these hammer boys down here in McAnopy was one of them.
Yes.
And I was talking to Betty the other day over the phone. She called me and we was talking, and I asked her, I heard they had sent him off. Betty Preston. And she said, yeah, that they sent him off. Said he got, I believe, 5 years. And she said that her and Buddy Huff was going to do everything in the world that they could to get him out. And I said, well, Betty, he ought not have done it. I said, there's no excuse for anybody going around taking something that don't belong to them.
Yeah. What did she say
about that? Oh, he was led into it. It weren't his fault.
Oh.
It weren't his fault. He was just led into it.
Yeah.
It weren't nobody's fault but his. You can't hire me to go out in somebody's pasture and take their stuff.
Let me tell you, since he has been involved in that, it's been a whole lot quieter back here.
And let me tell you, Mrs. Bass, now I'm not saying that he done that. Mrs. Bass's son-in-law went with him. They were right-hand buddies. And he had about 30 or 35 young calves shut up there behind Miss Bass's place in a pen. Well, when this got started, when they caught this here Hanner boy and these other boys, he goes and he gets rid of the last one of them. Now, I don't say that he had anything to do with it, but it looks suspicious to me. And the law come out there to the house. And two deputies, and they come in, sit down, and talked. And they said that the way they done, they went and buy one and steal two.
Yeah. And go get them themselves.
Yeah, go get. Why, they caught them over yonder at Winster in a man's pasture one Sunday morning. The man happened along, you know. And he seen them over there. So he just kept quiet, you know, and he got the law out there. And the law hid, and they roped it and put it in the back of the car and hauled it to Micanopy. Followed him right on to Micanopy and got the calf.
Hauled him with the goods on him.
Caught him with the goods on him, and then he told all, there was three of them in together. There was two more. Besides him, one at Winster, let me see now, what was that boy's name? Anyway, there was one at Winster and one somewhere else that was in with him.
Yeah.
And Miss Bass was talking to me about it just before she came up, and she said that this Hanner boy's wife was suing him for a divorce.
Well, she left him a time ago, I understand. I don't know either one of them, but they say she's a right nice girl. I don't know her.
I don't either.
I've never seen her. Well, I have seen her. She drives out in front of me, you know, when I go out this lane, but that's all right. I don't know about that.
I never had thought about buying one and then taking two. I can see.
I'm going to tell you, I haven't kept up with the hay this time. Last year, nobody made any hay. It all got wet. Now, what's going on with the hay now?
Well, what you mean? I don't know anything only about that fella that we bought ours from.
Who'd you buy yours from?
The Bel Air Farm. Wait a minute. Now, let me see. I believe it was Bel Air. Up at Melrose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got 11 tons, and I'm going to get 11 more.
Oh, really? Well, aren't you making hay yourself?
No, I ain't got no hay.
Sorry, Miss Mary?
Something happened to my Pandora. It didn't come up. I lost it all.
Never heard of that.
I never did either, but it happened this year.
You mean Pangola like this boss?
I reckon so. We lost ours, and Mr. Dodd lost his. I put out $600 worth of fertilizer on mine. And I got to turn around and buy the coffee.
Gee whiz.
Well, that's terrible.
Yes, it is.
$600 a lot of fertilizer.
It is. But that's what I put out on the Pangola and the Bahia.
What's that, 400 pounds an acre?
Something like that.
Where you get it?
I got it from Mr. Brownlee. He found a man that was selling out somewhere, Jacksonville, I believe it was. And they come out there and put it out for us. It's not doing any good at all on the Pangola, but I'm going to plow it up, and I'm going to plant rice. I'm going to plant winter rice for the cows.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I'm going in there and just tear it all to pieces and plant rice.
Yeah. Well, you got.
And hoping that it will come back next year. Now, I don't know whether it will or not. It didn't come this year. Just got a field full of weeds.
They ought to be
up. That up there at the house, I had a field up there between us and Hogan's on the hill, and lost every bit of that.
And go?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I thought you had that in Bahia.
No, I had a field of Pangola.
Oh.
Up there back at the house.
Well, gee whiz. Gee whiz.
And I think it's just something that happened to it just like it did the moss. I don't believe it could be a disease, but I don't believe it was a winter, because we've had winters harder than last winter, seemed to me like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, last winter, you know, it was cold a whole lot, but it was never, never just bad cold, as I remember.
And I'm going to do a lot of culling this year. I'm going to sell a lot of my old cows and keep the heifers.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, them yesterday across the fence there was pretty, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. They were. But they've lost some weight since they've been out of the field. I have them over at the pasture, you know, at the other place, and open the gate and turn them out, you know. And the rascals, they come up there and lie up there around the house. They won't stay over there.
Oh, really? They think they might get a handout.
Yeah. Well, they will if I got it.
Miss Mary said sometimes she thought she'd sell all the cows, and then she wondered what in the world would she do then.
Yeah.
They're the most fun.
They sure they are. I like my cows.
Well, now you got some nice ones back then, huh? The bulls and some of those.
But you know, I lost my big white bull.
Well, good Lord have mercy. What in the world?
Marvin went out there last Saturday, I believe it was. Sunday was a week ago, and he said, well, we sure are in bad trouble. I said, well, what in the world's happened now? He said, we got the worst kind of a case of screw worms. I said, in what? He said, our old big white Charley bull. And I said, well, get him up here and let's see what we can do about him. And we called him, and he come up there, and we looked at him. I said, Marvin, that cow ain't got no screw worms. I said, and he was swelled up. Oh, his privates was just swelled up to something awful. And looked just like an old nasty sack, and looked like it was just tore all to pieces.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let's shut him up and keep him and feed him good. Well, it was Sunday, and we couldn't get a hold of no vet. But we kept on calling. We finally got him one. He said, just leave him alone. He says, I know what's wrong with him. And he said, in a day or two, he'll be all right. Well, in a day or two, he wasn't. So I got on the phone and I called a vet out there. And he was to come out there that evening, but he didn't come. He called back and said he couldn't make it, but he'd be there at 8:30 next morning. So he come out there. And him and Marvin put him in a chute. That was last Saturday morning. And he washed him good and done a lot of trimming on him. And he come back to the house and he told me, he said, well, he said, your bull's ruined. He said, feed him up and get rid of him. Says, sell him for beef. So that's all he'll ever be any good for. And I said, well, what happened to him? And he said it happened a lot of times in that stock, he said, especially that stock.
That's that pretty
White Charlotte.
White Charlotte.
And he said that he got his private organ broke.
Hmm.
But he's lost lots of weight. That bull sure has been sick.
Hmm.
I've lost him.
Well, now don't tell me anymore. That's enough. Let me tell you, we hadn't seen you all so long. It was yesterday. It's so nice to see you. And we run on over and just stopped with Shirley about 5 or 10 minutes. You know, it's late bedtime. Oh, sorry. And she looks like she's worried.
She acts that way to me, and all she talks about is the school.
Yeah. Well, now,
you know what she told me she's going to do? I don't know if she told y'all that or not. I was talking to her some time ago, and she said she was going to buy her house trailer and go move to Evingston. I said, what in the world are you going to do that for? So she could have her post office address at Evingston so she could send her kids to Buholt School. Did she say anything to y'all?
Didn't to me.
That's what she told me. Said she was going to buy her another house trailer and move it down to Evingston.
Dodd was out there on his tractor and he could come on back in. And Faith on Shirley. And I was looking out there over that. They've got a whole bunch of new cattle. Are they going back in the cattle business?
They don't belong to them.
Oh.
They belong to that man Smith that planted watermelons.
Oh. They look like they're in good shape.
And Billy Hughes.
Billy Hughes. Hi, me. Billy Hughes.
Well, Billy Hughes, you know, he's got cows over there. And they go in and out. They own them all the time. They in there.
That's what I...
Oh, you mean they just help themselves?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The fence is... not good enough to keep them out. They're always squabbling about it.
Yeah. That was a good thing. I heard Shirley talking about that. It's been a year.
Well, you know, they don't nobody ever fix this fence but Marvin and I. And we ain't got no post. We can't fix it now unless we buy wire and buy post and go and put them in there for him. And that he had a whole bunch out on the highway. And someone called me, I don't remember now who it was, and wanted to know were they mine. I said, I don't know, but I'll sure soon find out. So we went down there, and it was Billy Hughes's. So I got on the phone, and I called his brother over at Hawthorne. And his wife answered the phone, and I told her about it. And I said, now them cows is liable to cause somebody to get hurt. And the cows are liable to get killed. Well, Billy had gone off on a vacation. He'd got through with his watermelons, and instead of him going to work and fixing his fence before he went on a vacation, he was going on a vacation. And he told me here some time ago, he said he wasn't going to buy no wire, no fence, and put it up there. Well, we patched and patched. You ought to go down there and look where that fella had that wreck at the mailbox night before last. He just went right on through the woods and went right on, cut a tree off and tore up the fence. But I can't help it. I do all, me and Marvin took our post.
Yeah.
that we bought and went down there and fixed his fence and fixed his fence. I like to help people, but I like for them to help themselves. Well, he hauled watermelons all the summer or by the house, and he didn't stop and ask me to have a watermelon. He didn't offer me never watermelon.
I don't know, Billy Hewitt.
He lives way over on the other side of Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Up there at Keystone Heights.
Yeah. Oh, Faye, it was ridiculous. That's what Shirley said about Billy Hewitt's the old Bremers back there next to the lake. He said they'd just walk over the fence, jump over the fence, and take it, you know, like it wasn't there. And then if they go out there to chase them out, they just jump back over.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they left, they'd come on back again.
Well, you know, I had a few cows like that got over in Carden Glisten's. And I didn't do a thing in the world but haul them up in my truck and carry them off. Yeah. I don't want my cows bothering nobody else.
Yeah.
I got rid of them.
Yeah. But...
But now there's Carden Glisten living over there. And I got my place over there fenced, see? And it's a fence that runs between his place and mine. Well, he uses my fence. Well, if a tree falls down on the fence and some of my cows gets over there in his pasture, I have to go over there and get them out. He don't get them out, but he gets on that phone and he lets me know. Well, he don't help us keep up the fence either, but still, he's using the fence.
Yeah.
He's still using my fence.
Well, how can you get out from under that, Mary, that people imposing on you like that?
I can't do it. I can't make him build him a fence.
Well, there ought to be some way of not having to hold up the fence for people.
And you can't let your cows stay out.
That's right. So I have to keep up my fence.
There ought to be some way. There ought to be some way of protecting yourself like that. I don't know what it is.
Me and him's had it up and down.
Yeah.
There used to be an old public road that run between his property and my property. It had come from Hawthorne. It was an old mail route. It was the only way to Micanopy. And it come in to the road right down there just before you get to River Styx. Now that was the road to Micanopy.
Yeah.
And Mr. Guthrie told me that the county give that. At least the Denham property give half of it, and old man Valentine, old colored man, owned it then, and he gave the other half. But it was a public road. So I was in the bathtub one night taking a bath when that young gentleman come up there to the house and informed me that I didn't own none of it.
Oh, really?
And I didn't even take time to. I just slipped on my dress and I was as wet as a rat. And I said, I want to tell you one thing. I said, I didn't tell you I owned every foot of it. But I said, I might own it all for all you know. I said, you haven't had it surveyed. He said, well, I'll tell you what you do. You go hire a surveyor and come out there and survey it. Not if they have it. I said, no, hell, you won't either. You just won't do it. You want me to survey my property and survey yours. I said, I ain't going to do no such of a thing. I said, if you want it surveyed, you go survey it. So me and him, we had it.
Got my shoes wet.
Well, now I thought he was a rich man, pretty well to do.
Well, he is. So he had worked on, and George Boltnight that lives right down the road from us, he owns property back in there. And he let Carlton go and stop up the road. And I told him, I said, George, I said, you better have that road unstopped. I said, you can make him unstop that road now so you can get back there. But I said, if you wait 3 years, you can't do it. I said, just, and it don't matter to me. I said, I don't care, because I ain't got no business back in there at all. Only on my property, and I don't need that road. I said, now you better go in there and have Carlton Glisson stop that road. So, year before last, he come up there, him and old Lee that cuts timber, and they wanted me to let them haul out some timber through my pasture till they could get the road open. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't want to be nasty about it. I said, you all can haul it out till you can see your Carlton and get that road open. But I said, if you don't get it open, that's your hard luck. So they kept on hauling, and they're just ruining my grass. And I went over there and I told old Lee, I said, don't let me catch you with your truck back in there no more on my grass. I said, George Boughtonite's got a road, and he can open it. So that stopped the timber cutting. So this year, this summer, they wanted to go back in there, and I said, I don't care how much y'all go back in there, but you ain't hauling it over my land and cutting up my fence and ruining my pasture grass. So Carlton still got the old road closed, and he can keep it closed too.
Get it open.
Just sorry they sent them.
Huh?
Just sorry they sent them. They thought they'd go in and out through my pasture.
Yeah. Well, I'll be dead.
You just have to stand up for your rights.
You sure do.
See if I can get a little coughed up your eyes.
Now you talk about, you know, you don't want to be wicked. That's not being wicked on your part. I don't think the Lord would want you to just be run over.
Well, did Miss Dodd ever tell you how this fella Hamilton done him?
I don't remember it. I don't remember that she did. I haven't seen her, and so, you know, to talk with her sometimes. How did that happen?
Well, just before she left here to go south. It was about the time she did go. She had done left when Mr. Hamilton called me up one day that runs that fish camp down there. And he said, Miss Townsend, he said, I want to go back there on your property and get 10 or 12 loads of dirt.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was pickup loads. And I said, no, sir, you sure can't. I said, I better not catch you back there getting my dirt either.
And leaving holes.
Well, it hit rocked on, and I seen these here big dump truck loads going by the, just working just like this building state highway. The first news I knowed, I heard that Mr. Dodd and Mr. Hamilton had a falling out. And, Mr. Dodd said he got mad with him. So one night while Mr. Dodd was gone, I called Mr. Dodd and was talking to him, and I made mention. I said, Mr. Dodd, where in the world is all that dirt going? He said, I want you to go over there and look in front of my house. And that man went in there and dug a pit where he had went in there, right in front of his house over there in the woods. And he hauled off 97 dump loads of dirt off of Dodd's property and was building him a place to build cabins to rent. And Mr. Dodd told me he's almost crying. He said that he told him that they never had no settlement, no understanding what he was to get out of. He said, get out of it. He said, hell, I don't owe you nothing. Said that weren't the understanding that I was to pay for it. And he thought he'd do me the same way. He thought I didn't have no better sense than to do me the same way. But you just ought to go and look.
Over
in, it's on the outside, over there. I went over there and looked and took Julia and carried her over there. I tell you one thing, I'd have beat his head into the ground if I'd have been man enough. If I'd have been Dot, I'd have got him down there somewhere or another, and I'd have beat the tar out of him.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to get mixed up with Dot. He's a big man.
If I'd have been Mr. Dot, I'd have fooled him off down there in them woods somewhere, and I would have mortally beat the tar out of him for that.
97
Tucker Upline. Mr. Dot said he went down there one evening. Said he kept on. He went down there one evening and he asked, they had a sand digger, one of these here machines in there, you know, that with these big shovels.
Oh, yeah.
And the operator told him, he said, we hauled off 97 truckloads. And he had two big dump trucks in there. But when he called me, I thought maybe that he was going to haul it in his little pickup.
Yeah.
He said he wanted a little top sawer to fill in some mud holes.
Oh.
And that's what I thought. But I told him, I said, no, you can't go in there and get it. Go in my grass patch and dig up my grass.
What?
And they don't speak to me. They don't have nothing to do with me, but I don't care.
Dodd just believe everybody?
Just believes everybody. They were good buddies.
Yeah.
And it's a shame for people to do people like that. Take the advantage of them. Mr. Hamilton knew Ms. Dodd was gone, and he knew Mr. Dodd was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could just go in any time.
And help himself.
I never heard of anything like that.
Right after Mr. Guthrie died, he come over to the house and he asked me about Marvin taking the tractor and a whipper and going and cutting down some broom sage along the road. And I talked it over with Marvin. I said, well, I said, take the tractor and go down there and cut his broom sage. I said, be careful with it. I said, you know how we got it. And I said, he's not here to give us another one. But after a while, I decided, well, now I'll follow Marvin down there and we'll see what he's doing. And he had my tractor down there, get a straddle of an oak tree that big trying to get it up. I said, wait a minute. I said, stop right where you're at. Mr. Hamilton was there, and I walked over there, and I said, Mr. Hamilton, I said, you don't need my little tractor down here. I said, you need to go get you a bulldozer if you're going to clear land.
Broom straw.
He said, well, he can do it. Well, Marvin had cut off some that big of myrtles and persimmons and such like. I told Marvin, I said, you get my tractor off of that tree and you be sure you get it right back to the house where you got it.
I got some oak trees out here. I'll see if I can get Marvin.
Yeah, you know, I got plenty of them.
Isn't that something?
But people don't care.
Never heard.
You know, I've been thinking ever since last night what you said about Mr. Guthrie. You know, I just said that. I didn't know the facts of the case. That I was the only one that didn't want that pavement through there. You said Will Guthrie didn't want it. Well, now, in my estimation, that's that is a disadvantage to country people.
Well, sure it is. It's a ruination.
And I don't know what Mr. Gaggy wanted it for. And he's one of the big backers of it. Now, you know what I'm talking about, Mr. Gary.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get all them sued? Does everybody want them, just about?
Well, you see, such people as the Containers that owns the majority of the land, why, they push it.
They do.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, the Containers is not like we are. If they give 1 acre for something like that, they get 2 acres somewhere else.
What?
Yeah, they do. They sure do. don't think that they give their land. No, ma'am. But you see, they can pull it over on us. They can condemn our the road, you see, and go right on through.
It looks like it would, I don't know what advantage it'd be to them. What they want it improved for. Looks like it'd be just the other way around. They wouldn't want it improved.
Well, in a way, it helps their property, you know, for a highway to come to Micanopy and go right on, and they can go to Citra. And it helps their property if they ever wanted to sell.
They want to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, they lease it. They don't use it.
What's that?
The container people. They don't do anything with the property. They just lease it out to people.
Oh, yeah, they do, too. They cut timber all the winter. Just got through cutting over there on the lake.
Oh, do they?
Yes, sir. They make big money.
On timber?
On timber. They plant and cut and sell all the time.
You know, I found that out. I saw that back when I first come down here. I went out to Mill Hopper Road there from Gainesville. Mr. M.M. Bryant, you may have known him. He was a fine old gentleman. He sort of halfway run the farm bureau. He was sort of a permanent secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And he was nice. He had some land down there. Is in that, is a stretch of it goes through the county. It's just the richest land you ever did see. Beautiful land. And those big magnolias, if he would just go up overnight. Well, he cut timber out of that every 10 years or such. It grows so fast, it was ready to cut every 10 years. Now, I don't know, I don't remember it accurately, you know, but that's the way he made his living.
Mm-hmm.
He made more on that. He didn't make anything farming anymore.
And every acre that lies out, they get paid for it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Like soil conservation or something. Somehow or another, they pay them so much an acre.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we better do that.
You seen that big red car that passed yesterday evening when y'all was there and went down to the mailbox and come back?
Yeah.
That was Lovett Jackson. You ever hear tell of Lovett Jackson?
I used to see him down there at that lifestyle market.
We was talking, him and his wife was just riding and drinking. That's all they were doing.
Yeah.
And they stopped. And I just ended talking about the Hogan's place, you know, and first one thing and another. And I said, I heard that the containers was going up on his pasture land, he told me. Y'all excuse. He said, well, good, he said, the old son of a bitch. He said, I beat the hell out of him here not long ago. I said, what? I said, you did? He said, I sure did, and if he messes with me, I'll do it again.
They was coming slow,
mm-hmm,
down the road, Faye, when we turned around and left.
They go down there every evening. Every evening they just ride. And then they go down here sometime to Orange Lake and they eat supper. They just just drink, you know, and take them a little nip and ride.
Yeah. Well, now.
He and his wife?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, let me see. She come from Micanopy.
That's right, she was a mountain.
That's right, she bust a mountain sister,
mm-hmm,
wasn't she? You know where I saw them? When I first come to town, I was in the hospital. I hurt my leg some. Old Man Mountain was in a ward there. We was all Doty, and J.R., he's one with the ear bit off. That's Buster's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Buster, they're all up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they are some of the first that I never saw them after that much, you know, until I come down here, then I saw Buster. But they are some of the first people that I knew after I got
but
out.
But you know Lovett Jackson will do that.
He will.
Oh, he will?
Yes, sir. They, of course, this has just happened a long, long time ago. But I heard that his daddy killed two men. Lovett Jackson will sure get on to you if you mess with him. I've always heard that. Mr. Guthrie knew him. Him and Mr. Guthrie was good friends. And he always told me, he said he was all right, but he said, don't cross him. Oh. If you mess with him, he's... they tell me that his daddy will naturally get you.
Old man Jackson. And let me see. He had them cows. He had the Hereford cows. He was a big cattleman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mean a big... I mean, you know, with those Hereford cows. And I have run across several people who got a start in cattle from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I like Lovett Jackson. I like his wife. And the mountain boys, I like them. I like anybody that treats me right.
Well, Buster ain't no count anymore. He won't do anything.
I know that. And he's the sorriest mechanic that I ever seen in my life. And he's a cheapskate. But still, I like him. He'll, you know, if he works on your car, he'll put any old thing on it.
Yeah.
And, but I like him.
Buster, see, I remember he worked on my old tractor time too, and he'd save me money. He'd try to use the old part, and I wouldn't get halfway home because it'd break down.
I know it.
He saved me money, you see.
Just cause.
He just killed my spirit. You know, these people save you money. I remember Willie Chitty. Now, Willie is a good fella. And he can do about everything. I wish I could do just a fraction of what he can do. But he was, he put this pump in out here. This is down there, the far one. Men Boyles had that big old Bradley or whatever they called it. She bought it secondhand, you know. It ain't right to buy a secondhand. I found that out. It lasted a little while, then it went out, and I got Willie to put another one in for me. And what he, I remember that old tank, the water tank, it was a, what was it, a big 30 or 40 gallons, you know, just a regular size, a tall upright one. Oh, it was rusted. And he couldn't get the thing loose. He worked on that old thing a half a day. He says, we'll make this do. I said, Willie, I didn't know as much then as I know now. At least I know a little more now than I did then. It'd suit me if you just let that and go. I told him, because you're going to spend more time on that than a new one would cost. But he couldn't see it that way. And he spent the best part of the morning out there in the hot day, right out yonder, trying to get that old rust out. And he put it on there and it didn't last long. So I had to put a new one on. Now, if it was now, I'd know better than to put on an old pump. You see, the new ones don't last long.
Yes, sir. Well, is the Dodge in the new house?
It's half and half. See, you saw more than I did.
Well, we were there such a little time, and Bonnie had had her horse. We hadn't seen them all summer. And Bonnie had this horse that she wanted me to see, so she was... And I believe Shirley said that they were sleeping over at the house. And she told me, and sort of laughed, and said, did we know where they could get some Hereford cattle? If Berman didn't buy her some Hereford cattle, she's going to pack up and go back to Orlando. As sort of teasing, I guess.
Yeah.
I think they're sleeping over there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I heard her say that.
Well, you all don't know anybody that's got any Pangola hay for sale. How about this fellow Williams? You reckon he's got it?
You know, I haven't seen him, but he's on your accent.
He is.
No, he's not. He's on mine. I could ask him.
Yeah, you could ask him. What kind of hay have you bought?
Coastal Bermuda.
I see.
I'd like to have some Pangola if I could get it.
Yeah. Now, it's not as expensive this time of year as it is later.
No, if you wait later, it'll be more expensive.
Yeah. Last I bought was a dollar.
Weather gets cold, you know, naturally it'll go up, and no feed, no corn maiden or nothing. We thought we better stock up while we could.
Yeah.
Get some. I'm going to cut some bale.
Well, I was going to ask you, why not?
I am. I'm going to save some of that bale that I got, if the cows don't eat it all up.
Yeah.
How much do you have to pay for Coastal?
Well, now, we paid around $1.25 a bale for that.
$1.25?
Something like that.
Yeah,
put in the barn.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it's, that's not clear profit. It's right costly just to bale it and all.
You might be right, it is.
Well, now, don't you still have some of that fine baling equipment?
Yeah, I got it all.
Well, you do custom work.
And as soon as this weather gets good, I'm going to put Marvin over there at the Dillon place and see if I can't save some of that bale.
Yeah.
You know what they want a pound for Argentina bale seed? $1 a pound.
No, I never heard of that much.
I called Mr. Brownlee the other day and asked him, did he have any? He said, yeah, he had some. And he said Toby had that in charge and he'd find out and let me know. And I saw Toby yesterday and I told him, I said, well, you just have to keep it because I can't afford it.
That's more than I ever heard, tell. No. Did you ever run across up there at the junction? Do you know Woodard Coleman?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Woodard Coleman is a good friend of ours.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. He looks out for us. And he don't see us. He comes to see us. He has watermelons or peas or sweet potatoes, anything like that. Why? He looks out for me and Marvin.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
You know Annie?
Oh, yeah, and if he has anything he wants worked on, he hunts Marvin.
Is that right?
That's right. Marvin does a lot of little things for him, like he helped him test his cows, and he hauled him to town once in a while. He went with him, I think, last year to get his truck inspected. He picks up his tag for him.
Oh. Oh, that's right.
You know, it's a shame no Woodard can't get lights down there where he lives.
Well, that's right. He don't have anything but kerosene, does he?
That's right. And it's just pure meanness in the Franklins that they won't let him have it.
Is that right?
Oh, they won't let him put the
pole? Oh, no. Mm-mm. Because they want his property.
Oh.
You see, they want the Woodard's property.
Yeah. Well, now you see, if you need it, you got all you want. But you could. What's he gonna do with it, Woodard?
By what?
What's he gonna do with his property?
Well, you know what? I imagine that the welfare people will get it. Because him and Annie both draws the welfare check.
Yes.
And I understand that if you draw it and you got any property, you got to give the property to them when you're gone.
Oh, really? I never heard of that.
Yes, ma'am, you do. If you got any property and you gone, they get it.
Woodard talks a lot. I've talked to Woodard, but Annie, I never talked to her. How is she?
Well, she talks.
Yeah. She just has to know you.
Mm-hmm. Old Woodard Coleman, I know him. His old mama used to live there.
You knew her?
And we used to grind cane and make syrup.
Oh, really?
And she'd fix dinner for Mr. Guthrie and I.
Oh, really?
And she put on a white tablecloth. And she used to have the best butter and the best homemade sausage and good fried ham. And she'd set that table, and me and Mr. Guthrie had to come in and sit down and eat first.
Yeah, that's right.
And that floor was so clean, till I wouldn't have minded to pick up a biscuit and eat off of the floor.
Well, that was over to her house.
Right over there where Woodard's at.
Woodard's mother.
Woodard's mother.
I think there's a mill, part of a mill still over there. Back of the house over to the...
Yeah, I imagine there is. Well, we used to... We made a many a gallon of syrup there.
Yeah.
And I've eaten at Aunt Phyllis's table many a time. And if there was a woman or anybody in the neighborhood sick, like a woman, people used to didn't go to the hospital to have the babies.
Uh-huh.
Aunt Phyllis cooked cake and fried a chicken. Fixed up her basket and went to see them. In her little, she had her horse and buggy. She was a, they didn't make them no better than Aunt Phyllis and Uncle Wade.
Uncle Wade?
That was Woodard's daddy.
Yes, I'd forgotten. I'd heard his name, but I'd forgotten.
I just wish I knew somebody like that.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. I do too.
Well, now there's, let me see. I run across somebody not long ago who used to live back there at the junction about that time. Let me see. Some of the nigger women. Who was that? Hey, that was down here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was
granddaddy's.
Yeah.
She works for the Richardsons. What's her name? Daisy. Daisy.
Right.
Daisy,
yeah.
Wright.
I never remember the last name.
Know her?
Yeah. I know, Daisy.
Well, now she was younger than Wade Wright.
Yeah, let me tell you a little secret. Don't never mention it. But I used to get so tickled, you know. Aunt Phyllis, she was awful jealous of Uncle Wade. And they used to have some squabbles about Daisy. You know, Daisy, Uncle Wade, he was a big bean planter. He planted vegetables. And they'd have their squabbles about Uncle Wade and Daisy.
Working in the beans.
Mm-hmm. You know, that just can tickle the fire out of me, you know.
Yeah.
Old Dick Wilson?
Yeah.
At Webster?
Yeah.
Well, he was a farmer, you know. And Tiny, she was awful jealous about him, you know.
Yeah.
And he'd pick up hands along the road, you know. So there was some white woman, I don't know who she was, I never seen her that I know of. I don't know nothing about her. But anyway, Tiny was raising the sand about her. And there was a colored woman there, and she put this colored woman up to watch them, you know, to let her know if she got on the truck and got in the front seat with Dick. And so I was over there one day, and Tiny was in the... on the high horse about it. Of course, the Dick, he done got his load of women and done gone to the field, you know. And she called this old nigger woman in there, and she said, Lily? She said, so-and-so. Lily said, I ain't seen nothing. I didn't see nothing. I don't ask me. I didn't see nothing. I said, now, Lily, you know darn well you seen her seat with Dick. But they used to have it.
You know, I was told you that, I was banking on seeing him talk to him. And then he had that heart spell with his heart. You didn't have to do much in those days. You had those colored women, they'd take care of you.
Mr. Miles, I've worked harder than any Negro in this community. I can carry you to people. There's a fella that used to deliver gasoline out home. And he lives in Hawthorne. I can carry you to him, and he could tell you. You know, I've waded River Stick Swamp. You might not believe it. But I've in mud up to here. Just could pull out, and sometimes I couldn't pull out. And I'd have a post under my arm and a post on my shoulder. Building fence. I've sawed posts, I've cut posts, I've dig post holes, I've nailed up barbed wire. I plowed a mule, I plowed a horse. I've hoed and I've pulled fodder, I've broke corn, and I've done everything in the book.
You made molasses?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes, sir. Right over yonder at Woody Coleman's.
No, I didn't know you'd done all that.
I have. I've done some hard work. That's one reason why I ain't no good today.
Well, you don't talk like that. Don't talk like that now, of course.
That's just the reason why I ain't no
good. Nobody would believe that looking at you now.
I have. I sure have. I've worked hard.
You have a thing spell you made.
And you know what? I have worked hard all the week. And on Friday evening, go to the house. And I just could drag one foot ahead of the other. And Mr. Guthrie's people from Tampa was going to come and spend the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'd have to get dressed. And I'd have to go to town, and I'd have to buy food. And come back home and fix for them. And still, Mr. Guthrie couldn't understand why he'd upset me so bad. And I can't understand that. Well, he'd be at the house in the bed.
And didn't know what all you had to do.
And he didn't realize it. I was already worked down in the first place. Well, then I'd have to go to town and buy food and come back and cook and clean the house. And wait on them, and they'd leave Sunday night. Well, the next week, all that mess was to do over again.
Oh, Lord. I'd rather have care them posts out there in the swamp than do that.
Yes, you're mighty right. Well, do you remember old fella Carol that used to live down just below Evingston? You know, right on your left there, there's some little old houses, and a house was moved towards.
Yeah.
Do you remember him?
No. No, that's just for my time.
Well, he was living down there, and he was justice of the peace.
Oh.
And I had worked and worked and worked. I don't hide my meanness. I don't care for what people knows that I've done, because I don't try to hide it. And I was tired out, and they were coming up. And when it